Everybody, I hope you are doing amazing. And I also hope that you can't hear one of the two fans going in the background because it is hot as shit right now as I'm trying to record this. It has gone up 7 degrees in the past hour and a half, apparently. That's not fun. We don't like that. Or this podcast episode, it's something that I want to touch on because it's very common for the people that have signed up for Simply Happy and Healthy. And I don't know if I'm going to release this one, this week. I don't know if I'm going to release it the week that people can still sign up or the week that we are just starting for Simply Happy and Healthy. No idea. Feel free to check it out if you want to, because we start on the 17th of March, but the intake actually closes on the 15th. No, yes, on the closes on Saturday, the 15th of March. So if you're obviously hearing this before that time, feel free to click the link, sign up, change your life, be fucking awesome. If not, let's get into this episode. For most of the people that have signed up for Simply Happy and Healthy, and most of the people that I've worked with in the past for the Unfuck Yourself Transformation Program, they all have a very common thing. They have a thing in common. Jesus Christ. They have a very common thread that ties them together. Let's go with that. That sounds okay, I guess. Most people try figuring it out themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know a lot of people who are self-taught in a bunch of things. And it's like, how did you get this good? It's like, well, I looked up YouTube stuff. I did this. I had no other choice. I just kind of figured it out. When it comes to dieting, nutrition, health, all those fun things, the unfortunate thing about it is it's not really a step-by-step process that we can go, how to fix a dishwasher? And then you look up that dishwasher and it's like, yep, this is the same issue that I'm facing. And it's very procedural and mechanistic in the sense of step one through step 27. And you can see it all happening right there in front of your eyes. For nutrition, it's a very different life from person to person. It's a very different body from person to person. It's a different mindset, past experiences. There's a different everything that goes from person to person. So the journey itself is unique as shit. That's one thing that I really want to get across in here. When people try to figure it out themselves, it's either repeating heaps of things that they've done in the past and their brain is lying to them, which if you follow me on TikTok, you've probably already seen that post. But they're either trying to repeat things that they've done in the past or they're trying to piece together things that everyone else is doing that works for everyone else. And neither of those things are inherently bad or wrong. If you keep repeating them, and you get the same result, then we've got some problems. Then your brain is likely lying to you. Because, like some recent podcast episodes that I've done, nobody likes the unfamiliar or the uncertainty. You would much rather a certain bad life than a potentially good life, but a lot of uncertainty that goes with it. How do I get that good life? I don't know. How do I do these things? I don't know. Well, it's too much. It's overwhelming. It's frustrating. I'll just go back to this certain that life is going to be bad, but not horrible. It takes a lot of people to hit that emotional threshold of, oh, life is horrible. And this spoon dropping on the floor has broken the camel's back. And then people typically reach out and we start working together. And then it's a whole bunch of fun from there. The first thing that I'll start on is the brain lying to itself or lying to you. The brain lies to yourself in the sense of that's where you self-sabotage. That's where you give up. That's where you believe that you are going to be safe. And that's where everyone self-soothes. They want to get through this moment. In the short term, your brain lies to you and goes, it's not that bad. It's okay. You can eat all these foods. It's not going to matter. One day isn't going to be horrible. But then you eat all the foods and you go, well, fuck, okay, this week is ruined. I have to start again. I have to do all these different things to make up for what I just did. And that's your emotional brain coming in and going, oh, you feel sad or stressed or overwhelmed or something. You feel emotional in this sense. You need something to soothe that. I've got it. Remember that last time that you were sad and you ate a whole fucking pizza to yourself? How good that felt to turn your brain off and just eat heaps of food and zone out? Let's do that. That'll fix all the problems. And your brain will show you snapshots and images and distort the reality that is happening right now to get you to go do that thing because it knows that you're feeling unsafe and uncertain. So it's going to get you to do something that is basically certain or as near to certain as possible, which is the last time this happened, you did X and that fixed it. So if you do that again, you're going to feel good. The one thing that doesn't happen, or the one thing that doesn't happen for a lot of people, they don't give themselves a minute to think. They don't give themselves 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to just go, okay, I know that that's an emotional response. I know that that's what's going to happen. I'm going to give myself 5, 10, 15 minutes, and I'm going to think about this for a second. What will happen when I eat this? Well, actually, yeah, last time I ate it, it felt amazing. But then 30 minutes after I finished it, I actually felt worse. And it ruined the week. And I blew out my calories and I stopped going to the gym and I hated myself and I didn't go out with friends. And oh my God, I actually felt way worse for eating that. Okay, maybe I'm not going to do that, but I need something to get me through this moment. I'm going to have a little bit of whatever it is. I'm going to have a little bit of this pizza, a small pizza instead of a family. I'm going to have a small one and a Pepsi Max instead of a large one and two drinks, whatever it's going to be. That's compromise. It's hitting your cravings. It's leaning into it a little bit. It's giving the brain that emotional, like, hey, yeah, this was really awesome. But then it's also giving that logical brain a moment to just sort of quiet down and go, oh, we're not actually going to feel shit after this. Or you eat it. And because that's your associated response to eating pizza, you're likely going to go, well, why did I do that? I've fucked up. I've done this. It wasn't even enough to make me feel good, blah, blah, blah. You're going to try and guilt spiral yourself into, you should make up for this. But the next morning or later that day, you're not going to feel as bloated. You're not going to feel as run down. You're not going to feel as tired or as guilty or as fucked up in quote unquote terms. So it's almost a win-win if you gave yourself enough time to be able to sort of break that down. This is why everyone's weight loss is super unique. Creating a healthy lifestyle for them, unique as shit. That's why, obviously, we charge a fair bit, because it's going to take a lot of time and commitment, not just like you to me in the sense of go do these things, but then also from coach to, or like myself to you. I spend the first part of every morning, about 2 hours, responding to people's messages, emails, just making sure that they're all good. And then I do that again for probably like an hour or just like little bits through the day, messaging them, communicating with them and making sure that they're good through the day, obviously as they need it. Then we've also got a weekly call. Then we've also got the email check-in, which takes more time. On average, it's about 2.5 hours a week for one client, like 2 to 2.5 hours for one transformation client. That's obviously a fair bit. Some people do like, you know, just the call and the email and stuff, and it takes like 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. And then I've got some people that take like 3, 4, 5 hours. But it's, I mean, I fucking love this job. I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can. But that's the amount of commitment that comes from the coach into personalizing and making sure that everything is good for you and your lifestyle and what's going on. We've got to form that relationship to know exactly what is happening. So when we get these generic meal plans, or clients come to me and they're like, yep, I've done, I'm going to throw out generic terms here so don't fucking crucify me for it. I've done F45, Jenny Craig, CrossFit. I've done BFT, which apparently BFT is the best out of CrossFit and F45. It's the best of both of them, apparently. I still don't know much about it, but I'm just going off generics. I've done Weight Watchers. I've done Manshake, Lady Shake. I've done Herbalife. I've done Arbonne. I've done all these skinny teas. I've done detoxes. I've done green teas. I've done whatever the fuck it is. People have done all these things that are very generic and usually very cheap. And that has gotten a sort of belief that, you know, the classic thing of like, you get what you pay for. If you spend $50 a week on something, it's probably not going to be amazing. If you get it like fucking half price or something, then cool, that's awesome. But if you pay $50 and that's their full price, you know you're not really going to expect massive personalization and world-class results or feedback or coaching or anything like that. It's more than likely going to be templated and, hey, here you go, go have fun. And let us know at the end when you've got results. Or hopefully there's some touch points through that, whatever program it is. But you get the point that I'm trying to make. And a lot of people have that belief as well of like repeating things that they've done in the past, because that story that I used before of, you feel like crap at the moment, you feel emotional. So the last time that happened, you ate a pizza and you felt really good for it. The brain will take that snapshot and it does the exact same thing for diet plans, weight loss and programs and stuff. When you finish a 4, 6, 8 week challenge or whatever it is, and you lose a kilo a week, no matter what it is, let's just say 8 kilos in 8 weeks. You lose it 8 kilos in the 8 weeks, you feel amazing. Oh my God, I did it. I smashed this challenge. This is fucking amazing. I feel so good. I've got so much energy. I can't believe I just did that. There's a lot of recency bias that's going on as well. But your brain takes a snapshot of all the feel goods. And because typically off the back of those challenges, there's been a lot of like HIIT sessions. There's been a lot of cardio, a lot of endorphins and things that are getting released. So your brain is obviously going to remember that. It goes, this is good. Bang, snapshot. You eat the pizza, even if you're feeling really emotional, but the dopamine and everything you get from the pizza feels really good. So bang, we're going to take that snapshot as well. Your brain is just taking very quick, like half a second images and moments in your life where you feel good. So when you get that chemical reaction through the body as well, and all those, because that is basically what it is. You smell something, the brain goes, that's a memory, and it floods chemicals into your body. And then you know, wow. And then you have a chemical reaction within your body, because that's the way that you feel. You also have obviously that chemical reaction from the neural pathways that we've connected in the brain. So it just goes, yep, bang, this is exactly what that is. I remember that smell from this fucking hill that I used to grow up on, or whatever it was going to be. Don't know why I completely went to fucking Hobbitville with that, but here we are. So your brain will take those snapshots of things that feel good. So when something doesn't feel good, it will flood you with, remember all the things that made you feel good? Here they are. We're going to repeat things in the past. When you feel bad about yourself, or you're not comfortable in your skin, or you try on a dress and it's tighter than normal, or just you look yourself in the mirror and you go, fuck, what is this? What is going on? That negative emotion, you're going to have that massive chemical response and you're going to go, well, I need to lose weight. So last time I lost weight. Oh my God, everyone. This is why I need to set myself up and not be hot and bothered as I'm doing a podcast. The last time I lost weight, Jesus Christ, there we go. The last time I lost weight, I did this 8 weeks, 8 kilo type of challenge, and I felt amazing when I did that. I'm going to go do that. And then people will just sign up, $400, $50 a week. Yep, let's go do it. It's going to be cheap, easy, convenient. Same thing as fast food, cheap, easy, convenient. But you don't have to think, you don't have to do anything. It's just there, it's done. That's it. When it comes to thinking about that, and this is something that I bring up massively on calls when people are considering a transformation program. How were the things in the past? Did you like the results that you got in the past? What did or didn't you like about them? So that I can go, okay, you fucking hated this. Let's not obviously put that into the program. Or you hated this, but it sounds like it's good. So what's going on there? It really dives deep into everything that's going on, past experiences. So obviously I know where to take you. I know where to help you. And if you've done this one thing in the past and it really fucking sucked and it's traumatic, I'm not going to force you to do that. We find something else that's going to work. That's the fun part of personalized coaching, I suppose. You will do that program that is quick, easy, cheap, convenient, and you're going to lose weight really quickly. But when you take that second to think about it, did it actually make you feel good? Well, you know, I finished that program and yeah, it wasn't bad, but then the weight slowly kept coming on because I went from 6 days of the sessions down to four because work was a bit crazy and I was just feeling really tired. My food got a little bit out of hand. I went back to just sort of eating normal foods, but I was being mindful with it and blah, blah, blah. And that's the most common thing that I hear. I'm trying to be mindful with food. And that usually just means I'm currently obsessing about food, but I don't have a way to track it or quantify it or tangibly say this is what I'm doing. So I'm thinking about food constantly, and that's me trying to be mindful of it. Because some people, when they say mindful, absolutely, it's just they eat their food and they go, I probably need more protein. Okay, I probably need more micronutrients. Where can I get that in? But quote unquote, mindful of food for a lot of people ends up being, okay, tomorrow I'm going to make sure that I have my oats and berries and protein powder all mixed. I've got this in the bag. That's good. That's done. Then for lunch, I'm going to make sure that I have the chicken, the salad, the canned tuna, the whatever it's going to be. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take some rice cakes with me. Yep, that's going to be awesome. Ooh, the rice cakes are probably a little bit too high calorie because it's a different one that I got. I didn't know that they had yogurt on the bottom. Fuck, now I'm going to have to swap them out. Okay, it's okay. I'll go to the shops tomorrow because I'll be able to get to the shops before work. They open at that time. That'll leave me half an hour. I just have to get up earlier and it spirals and it's way too much fucking work. It's awesome to be planned. It's awesome to know what you're doing and prepping and have meals ready to go. But quote unquote, mindful of food, if it is just obsession about food, but you don't have a meaningful way of tracking it or knowing what's going on, it's more obsession at that point. It's more paranoia, anxiety. I'm anxious when it comes to food. I have a lot of food noise, as it's commonly known. And we obviously don't want that for anyone. I don't want that for anyone when it comes to thinking about food. It's fucking exhausting. Who's going to maintain that? That's why I like keeping it simple and easy and just straightforward. Don't overcomplicate it. Just make it really fucking simple. I'm saying that because when you've done the things in the past, like the 8 kilos in 8 weeks, yeah, you felt good losing the 8 kilos, but you're actually, when you think about it, really tired. And now that you've gone back to doing whatever you normally do, the weight's gone back on. So how do you find somewhere in the middle that's not when I lose weight, I skip everything social and I just focus on weight loss? Because we know from how many times you've done this in the past now, you lose 3, 4, 5, 6 kilos, then you gain 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kilos. It's just how it works. The metabolism has to adapt. It's metabolic adaptation. When you rapidly lose weight over a long period of time, and you go back to what you were doing, it takes a while for your metabolism to quote unquote catch up or normalize or find an equilibrium that is now your maintenance calories, because it drops a lot faster than it builds. It drops because the body is very good at utilizing stored fat. It's very good at going, holy fuck, we need more energy. And because we can only burn so much fat in a 24-hour period, we're going to need to get energy from somewhere else. Where do we get that from? Let's start breaking down the muscle as well. to get more energy. Oh my God, they're in even more of an aggressive deficit than we thought. They're under eating like all fuck. Okay, we're going to take away some cognitive processes like being able to sleep or feel rested. We're going to take that away because we need to survive and keep doing things through the day. So we're going to burn fat, we're going to burn muscle, and I'm going to shut down some things that are happening in the brain and some processes. Okay, that's not amazing. Let's shut down some digestive processes because we're not getting that as well. This is what happens when you undereat and you keep doing those things for a long, extended amount of time. It makes sense because your body is just trying to survive and get through the day. It's going to shut down a lot of things and burn a lot of things and utilize what it has to try and not lose weight. When you are gaining weight or you finish that program that was an aggressive deficit and then you go back to even maintenance, it's normal for the body to put on 2-3 kilos because you've dehydrated yourself from a massive deficit. You've probably, if it is massively aggressive, yes, you've probably burnt some muscle. But if you go back towards rough maintenance, which we wouldn't even know where that would be straight away, but let's just say it's been 4 weeks, we know where it is, like 2,000 arbitrary numbers. If you were eating 1,000 calories, your metabolism would drop very slowly because fat and muscle are a metabolic tissue. Both of them utilize fat. Both of them burn fat and take energy, in order to maintain that. Because obviously, if you don't have enough energy coming in to maintain fat stores, you end up losing weight. That's a calorie deficit. You lose fat. That's a normal calorie deficit. If it's too aggressive, you end up also burning muscle. Muscle is a more active metabolic tissue than fat. It burns more calories than fat in terms of like per gram usage. Like if you chucked a kilo of muscle and a kilo of fat, the kilo of muscle will burn more calories than the kilo of fat will. And that's just how it works. Everything that you are doing, existing and breathing and listening to this right now, is taking energy. That's why when you sleep, you burn calories. When you sleep, you feel like you have to shit in the morning because it's processing everything that's going on. Your internal organs are still working, even if you're not conscious of it. Breathing is a muscle contraction. Thinking is your brain, which is a muscle, which is working. Moving hands around and writing things down, that takes energy as well. So literally everything that you are doing, just existing, takes energy to do that. Just lying down in a coma, just breathing, still requires energy, which is why most people, well, everyone, when they're in a coma, they have feeding tubes. Because if they didn't do that, they are burning calories, they would waste away. So they give them feeding tubes to make sure that they don't completely waste away and they have enough energy going in to maintain organ function. Fun fact for people who love aggressive dieters, aggressive dieting. So you need time to think about, does this thing actually work or does it make me feel shit? And, I just skipped over a part in my brain. Look at me coming back to a point. When you finish that massive aggressive deficit and you come back to maintenance, it's natural to put on 2-3 kilos. Coming back to me now. It's natural to put on about 2-3 kilos because you're hydrating your muscles, organs, literally everything inside of you that is trying to store the energy to keep doing what it's doing. But this entire time, you've been depriving your body of being able to basically fill the warehouse with energy so that it can use that whenever it wants to. And it's been coming in, it's been hitting the warehouse for like 2 seconds and then immediately coming out. So you've got an empty warehouse. Your muscles are really empty. When you start eating up towards maintenance, your warehouse is getting full. Your muscles have more energy, so they can do a lot more. You start feeling a lot better. The cognitive processes come back on. The lights in the warehouse start popping back on. That's what happens. And obviously, that warehouse is going to weigh more than it being empty. And that's what happens when you go from a deficit into maintenance. It doesn't mean that you are gaining fat. It just means that you are storing energy in your muscles and organs, most likely, to be able to function through the day and have energy to keep the warehouse operating. That's really what's happening. What normally happens, massive aggressive deficit, meaning there's a massive financial boom. What's the opposite of boom? Bust. Oh my God. There's a recession. So instead of having 100 warehouse workers, they now need to downsize. So they have 50 warehouse workers. That's you in an aggressive deficit. There is a massive recession. We've needed to fire 50 workers. And there's also not enough demand coming in because people aren't buying as much. So those 50 workers can keep up kind of with the amount of demand that is there. Even though the warehouse may be the same size, maybe you're closing off rooms because you fired some people in offices and things, but the warehouse overall size is about the same. You're going to be the same height. You're going to be roughly the same size, but it's going to use processes in that warehouse. You fire 50 workers because there's not enough money coming in, and there's not enough money coming in because there's not enough orders coming in, which means your warehouse is not as full. So those 50 workers can deal with less work. Let's just say this is the analogy we're using at the moment. When you go back to maintenance, what was your maintenance. Your 50 workers are now very used to, and it may not happen at once. You may have like 100 workers and then you get rid of five and then another five and then another five, like week after week. That's how it typically works. That's metabolic adaptation. It doesn't happen suddenly. It happens very, you know, week to week, day by day. It's a process. It's not just an immediate firing. But now we've gotten all the way down to 50 warehouse workers. And if you go back to what was your maintenance for when you had 100 warehouse workers, they're going to get overwhelmed as all fuck. They're going to go, this is way too much for us to handle. So just leave it at the door. We'll work overtime. We'll get this shit sorted later. End of the week. Hey, boss, we can't handle this right now. So we're going to need to hire more workers. How many do you think we should hire? Well, this is the same workload we had when we were 100. Okay. Well, I don't want to take the fact that this might be just a fluke. This might just be a small little bubble or boom in the market. So I'm not going to hire 100 workers. I'm going to give you another five to help out and we'll see how that goes. Fuck, okay, well, that's not what we need, but it's better than the 50 that we had. We've got an extra five workers. Cool. Things are still overwhelming and demanding, but more things are moving through the warehouse. And what is happening, you've gone back up to eating maintenance, but you're only used to having these 50 workers in. And that's what you're kind of dealing with. And then as the workers start to increase, the energy that is coming in, so they're moving the boxes, the calories and the energy are the boxes that the warehouses are moving, that the warehouse workers are moving and putting into storage. As it slowly goes back up, the CEO doesn't want to hire 100 workers at the same rate that he fired them because profits are too good. So instead of you dropping from 2,000 at a maintenance calories, in 8 weeks, you might have dropped to 1,200 calories, 1,500 calories, let's say, because that would be fucking impossible. Even 1,500 is massive. Let's say you went from a maintenance of 2,000 calories down to 1,500 calories in 8 weeks, which would be like almost a miracle for literally anyone to do that in a short amount of time. These arbitrary numbers, just go with me for math's sake. That CEO is going to go, fuck, we're losing money. Fire, 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 fire. Okay, we're at 1,500. When you eat 2,000 calories, which is what the maintenance was, and when you had 100 warehouse workers, the CEO goes, okay, well, let's hire another five workers. It's like, okay, well, last time this happened, we fired 10 workers. It's like, yeah, I'm going to give you five. The next week comes along. Hey, we need another 10 workers or 15 workers because that matches the load at like the rate that you were firing people. So we need to hire them back. I don't want to take the chance of potentially, you know, losing money. Profits are pretty good right now. I'll give you another four. Here's another four, five workers, let's say. The metabolism goes up at a slower rate than it does by losing it. And that's because we have a lot more energy and things that we can break down and burn. So it decreases that because it just basically knows that it's dying. It's going out of business. So it's going to do everything it can and make severe cuts to stay in business. But when business starts getting really good, okay, let's take this cautiously. Let's hire one person. Yeah, you fired five last time. I know. I just want to make sure profits are okay before I, you know, spend heaps of money. Let's hire another person. And that's the rate that your metabolism goes back up. And usually, if you started at 2,000 of a program, you would probably at the end of that program, by the time you've put on another 2-3 kilos, so let's say you started at 100 kilos, you got down to 92 in the 8 weeks, you would go back up to like 102, maybe 103 at the end of that 8 weeks by just going back to what you were doing because the metabolism is not yet caught up and at the correct level for what it was last time. It takes longer to get back to that 2,000 or the 100 workers. I hope that made sense in some sort of way. That's why a lot of people crash and burn out and get tired and give up and feel overwhelmed and frustrated when they do the same shit they've been doing for years on end. That's exactly why. Because eventually it hits a point where the CEO has a lot of money, but the workers are stressed out like all fuck. It's just protecting profits. The body is just protecting itself. That's what happens. So when people try to figure it out themselves, they repeat the things that they've done in the past, which is why they stay in that cycle. Because again, the familiar awfulness is better than the unfamiliar awfulness. So they will take what they know they have done in the past and they'll go, yep, the brain will lie to them and flash them things to go, hey, don't, we know that you're feeling shit, but don't do anything that you don't know what it is. That's unknown, that's uncertain. We don't know what it is. Until, of course, you hit that threshold where enough is enough. But let's say that you're not there yet. The brain will lie to you and go, no, it wasn't that bad. It was okay. You know, I know that you felt bad and tired and, you know, you were kind of like moody every single day. You weren't sleeping that well and your breath was fucking horrible because you took out carbs. But hey, you lost 8 kilos and that's not too bad. That's actually pretty good. 8 kilos in 8 weeks. Oh my God. Imagine where you'd be in 8 weeks if you just did that. Imagine if you went harder. Imagine if you did that, but maybe included like a little thing of dessert at dinner so that you could still have that evening snack and not feel as bad. That's good. We should do that. Let's do that. And if you gave yourself 10 minutes, you would be like, yeah, I did that 4 times ago. It still didn't work. Sometimes people can piece it together and go, this was awful. How can I make it better? Let's give this a go. Oh, that was actually really good. Okay, but it's still kind of bad. Let's change this. And obviously, we learn from the mistakes that we do. We learn from our experiences, fucking hopefully. And if you are learning from your experiences, you're obviously continuing to grow. You might have to go backwards. Like if you're doing the crash diets, you might have to feel like shit for 6 weeks and then go, you know what? This actually isn't worth it. You'll learn that pushing yourself past that limit is really not worth it. So the next time you do something, you're looking for a program that is like, hey, we want to be sustainable and we don't want to burn out. We don't want to crash. We don't want to repeat this same shit. Okay, let's do this thing that's kind of the same, but a little bit different. And eventually, hopefully, it hits a point where you don't have food noise. You don't feel guilty for eating food or for resting. You just feel quote unquote normal and you're living a happy and healthy life. That's what I want for everyone. Regardless of if you sign up, no matter what program, I'm going to get you there. But if it's not with me and it's with someone else, that's all I want for you as well. I'm going to give you the same reaction if you get that result with me or with someone else, because I really just want to make sure that you are happy and healthy and this is all making sense and you get out of the fucking cycle of crash dieting, because that is where people and their lives really hit rock bottom. And we can do a lot of work to prevent it, but not many people do. The other thing that really fucks people up is repeating what they see on social media or repeating what the masses are doing. And the unfortunate thing is, if something has typically gone viral on social media, it's because it's fear-mongering or it's a band-aid quick solution fix of like, if you do this one thing, you'll lose X amount in whatever, or you'll feel amazing by just adding this one supplement. Most of it is oversimplification and bullshit. And, you know, the Gary Breckers of the world really just want to lie to you and get arrested for fraud because they really just want to sell you shit that they know doesn't really work, but it possibly could work because not many people have a balanced, healthy diet. So if you're having supplements and eating a shit diet, yeah, you're probably going to feel a little bit better on these supplements. That's kind of it. Most of the supplements that I have seen from pretty much every wellness influencer or biohacker or anything like that, 95% of the supplements that they sell could be replaced by if you exercise daily, and like that could be a 10-minute walk, could be a 15-minute walk. It doesn't have to be a fucking gym thing. If you moved your body through whatever way that you enjoy doing it for 15 minutes a day, you wouldn't need $300 worth of supplements a month. If you ate a balanced diet and you got some protein in at each meal, you wouldn't need another $200 a month worth of supplements. You would save yourself a lot of money by just going, what are the absolute basics, low-hanging fruit that I can use right now? And for every single client, the low-hanging fruit, the easy shit, they go, oh my God, I feel amazing. It's like, that's crazy. You increased your protein, you got regular meal timing, you had a sleep schedule, and you got more water, and you moved consistently. Wow. Who would have thought that we could have changed your life by doing that and making that your lifestyle and feeling easy? So now you're telling me that by doing that, that's a really easy part of your lifestyle now, you're keeping the weight off? That's fucking wild. That is crazy. But no one wants to do that or hear that because they want the band-aid fix. They want to know what is wrong with them. They want to be like, yep, I'm special. Here's this thing that's wrong with me. That's why I can't do it. Most of the people that I have worked with have gone, here is this big reason why I've never done it in the past. Despite that, I'm going to get these good results. Most people have that thing that they work against and they go, this fucking sucks. And it's a reason that I haven't done a lot of things in my life and I haven't really lived my life to the fullest. That's also why I'm going to do this, because I'm so fucking sick and tired of being held back by this one particular thing that I've always just used and gone into more of like the victim mentality to be like, I have this one thing that's wrong, so I'm not going to do any of these things. Okay. So what are you going to do about it? Well, the only thing that I can do is really medication. Okay. Get the medication to help. That will be awesome. Hopefully that fixes things. But when you take the medication, let's say that it's fixed, what then? Oh, well, then I'll start exercising. Then I'll start doing these things. Okay. Is there a chance that the medication could be absorbed better or utilized by the body a bit better, make you feel better, increase your brain chemistry, regulate hormones a little bit more? Is there a chance that your mood could be regulated by getting better sleep and moving more and doing the basics of a healthy lifestyle? Nope. Can't do any of that because I have this thing that needs medication. Okay. And in some cases, that is justifiable. I have clients that are unmedicated for ADHD and, well, the fancy ADHD, it's like ADHD, and it is a struggle for them to be able to get up on time to work out, to do these things, but all of them can still meal plan. All of them can still meal prep. All of them can still do a healthy, balanced lifestyle, because no matter who you are, you still have to fucking eat and drink water or you will die. So no matter who you are and what is going on, you can change and alter your nutrition if you are willing to. And if you do that, you can have a profound effect on how healthy and awesome that you feel and get rid of a lot of negative side effects just by focusing on nutrition. I don't care if you can't work out right now. Yes, it would help. Can you focus on nutrition? Yes, you can. Because guess what? Say it with me. Everybody has to eat at some point, which means you can take 5 minutes or 10 minutes out of your day to go, what am I going to have for meals today? What am I going to have for lunch today? You may have to be a little bit obsessive with it at the start, because maybe that nutrition doesn't come to you naturally or thinking about meals or anything like that. You might have to Google for a little bit. But starting is always going to be the hardest part. And even for those clients that when they get medication, it's like, oh my God, this is so much easier. They have to put in so much more effort to do what comes normal or easy or effortlessly to a bunch of other people. So in this sense, you can still do something to make a massively positive impact on your health and your life. You just have to want to do it. But a lot of people don't, because they go, I have this thing, insert victim mentality here. I'm not going to do it because I have this thing. And yet every single client that I have worked with that has said basically the exact same excuse as to why that person is not doing it, they've gone, despite this thing that I have that's worse than that person that said, no, they can't do it, that's the reason I'm going to do it, because it's hit the point where I'm so fucking sick and tired of living my life like this. So let's do something about it. And despite that, they get better. They just need a way out, and they know that if they keep living like this, it's going to be fucking horrible. So please, if you have spent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, even more, trying to figure it out by yourself and you're still in the exact same spot than when you first started, you need help. I needed help. That's why I went to therapy. I needed help. That's why I hired a PT mentor. Yes, PT. I've been a PT for nearly 10 years. I still have a mentor for PT, particularly now that I'm getting back into the gym and actually doing, you know, PT sessions. I was like, this is going to be good to just have someone to bounce ideas off of. And I'm still learning. In terms of nutrition, I had a mentor for that. I did some courses for that. I have needed help so much of my life, even though I've done a lot of it myself and sorted out myself. And I'm like, yep, I didn't have help. I've had a lot of help in terms of hiring mentors, having people around me in the sense of colleagues and just talking to them. No one really supported me when I started personal training except for my partner. And that was about it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to fucking figure this out. And I just kept going and going and going. And this is where we are today, by just choosing to do something that will make me better. And that means hiring people or mentors or coaches to be able to get me there. Looking up on YouTube, yes, it's not a massively trustworthy site, but looking things up on YouTube and then going, oh, okay, that actually kind of makes sense. Go through the comments. Yep. Okay. Well, it sounds pretty good. Then Googling it and going, is this actually true? What happens? Doing my quote unquote own research, but really just doing due diligence, because obviously we're not scientists. We can't do research, but just doing my due diligence to go, that sounds too good to be true. Is it actually true? And tagging mentors and tagging people that are maybe not paid mentors, but I'm just like, hey, insert person with 120,000 views who does all these reviews of medical analyses. Is this actually true? Hey, what are your thoughts on this? I didn't know that insert claim that the person is making. You can tag content creators and they'll be like, yes, no, whatever, for people that you really trust. Like, I know that Dr. Ids has made his entire career out of basically fact-checking people that bullshit online. So now he gets tagged in fucking everything to be like, I didn't know this was true. Is this true? And that can be a version of due diligence and be like, yes, it is, or no, it's not. Or even if they don't respond, just fucking keep tagging. What other option do we have? So yeah, if you're trying to figure it out by yourself and you still haven't got there, it may be time to realize that we possibly need some outside help to make this work, because your brain only knows what it knows. It doesn't know what it doesn't know. So you're trying to fill the gaps in with knowledge that you don't have, and you're going to come up short every single time, because I've done that a lot of the time. It kind of fucked me up. Obviously, we ended up going to therapy, so fuck yeah, here we go. And then upskilling and extra courses and all that fun stuff. But yeah, I think I am going to release this the week before. But anywho, Simply Happy and Healthy is still up. The intake is going to be until the 15th, I think I said. Yep. The intake is going to be open until Saturday the 15th. That's Australian Melbourne time, because I know some people like UK, Europe, whatever, may be a bit off. But Saturday night, which is going to be midnight, 11:59 p.m., as soon as it ticks over to Sunday, I'm going to be closing the intake, or it's going to automatically do it for me. If you want to sign up, it's less than a PT session a week. It's $119 a week if you want to do that. For 12 weeks, there's also an upfront payment where it's $1,299. for the entire 12 weeks. I become your personal coach. I take you through everything my transformation clients go through. There's weekly masterclasses that break down the mindset, the nutrition, and everything that I've basically spoken about in all of these podcast episodes and everything you see online. It is a massively condensed, easy version that is just going to upskill you with your nutrition and your mindset to make sure that you can feel as awesome as possible and lay the foundations for a healthy lifestyle. It is the foundations that I give and the key principles to Unfuck Yourself transformation clients. That sounds interesting to you. There's a link in my bio. There's probably a link in the description somewhere. Find Simply Happy and Healthy and get in it. Because if you get 3, 4, 5 weeks into it and you go, yeah, Trav, this isn't working for me. I can't make the calls. I fucking hate this. Fair enough. Here's all of your money back. That's how certain I am that this is going to be absolutely life-changing for you. And if it's not, I will give you your money back. I will just basically say, yep, that's all good. Me being me, I'm probably going to reach out to you and say, okay, why didn't it work? What can we do? And I'll fucking work with you for free to find something that works for you and then say, okay, cool, go do that. It's just who I am and what I do. In the meantime, this is a very low investment. It sounds like a lot. If you want to do extended payment plans because $119 a week isn't going to work for you, message me. We can figure it out. We can meet in the middle somewhere and just make sure that you get the help that you need, because I really don't want finances to be the main reason that stops people from being happy and healthy. That's why I've created this program, because the transformation program is like $1,000 plus a month and it goes for 3, 6, 12 months. Obviously, you choose whatever option that you want, but not everyone can afford $1,000 a month. But hopefully through some nifty spending, what's the word I'm after? Some nifty budgeting. Let's go with that. The word is escaping me. Jesus. You can afford $119 a week. For one of my clients, he paid for the transformation program by taking out 3 Uber Eats meals a week. He ordered 1 a week instead of 4, and he saved $120 a week, which was $6,500 across a year, approximately. So he paid for the transformation program like that, and we put in a healthier lifestyle for him. He ended up saving more money. He paid for his fucking transformation program by just having a healthier lifestyle. It's crazy. So if you want to save money, remove guilt, silence the food noise, feel better within your own skin, go shopping and not have to worry if they're going to stock your size, not have to worry about, oh my God, I haven't eaten today. Well, I need to eat my normal dinner. Why am I still so fucking hungry? And I'm binging constantly at night. Or you undereat Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, you say, ah, oh, fuck it. It's the weekend. I've been good. And you put all the weight back on. If you want to stop all of that and just have a simple, happy and healthy lifestyle, yes, the pun is there because I fucking love it. And that's why I've named it this, because people signed up literally because of the name, because that is what it is. It is so fucking simple to do these things. I'm smiling if you can't hear this from the podcast clip. It's that goddamn simple to be like, hey, this is how the brain works and this is what's happening. So do this when X happens. Oh shit. Okay. It's never been explained to me like that. That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to give it a go. 1 week later, how'd you go? Holy shit, it fixed everything. Yeah, that's how simple it can be. $19 a week or basically $1,200 up front. That'll save you about a week's payment, I believe, $120-ish. But anyway, it is the best program you'll ever do, or I will give you your money back. Sign up at the time of recording. There's 13 spots still available. Sign up. It'll be amazing. The group of people that are already in, I can tell it's going to be fucking amazing. And the support between people in here, not just from me to clients, but client to client and person to person, it is so goddamn good. If you would like that, link in bio, do all the fun stuff. You know where to find it. Message me if you have any questions or you can't make the payments, but you really want to jump in. We can find something that will work for you. Otherwise, if you do have the payments, but you don't want to do group stuff, if you want some more one-on-one, hyper-personalized stuff, and you just like everything that I'm saying here, then message me. You can go through my website. That'll have transformation program info in there. Otherwise, just email me, message me on Instagram, whatever the fuck you want, and just get in touch with me. We can have a chat and see if the transformation program is going to be right for you. And if it is, fantastic. Let's change your life. But otherwise, there's two options there. One of them, Simply Happy and Healthy, is going to be closing on the weekend, and I'm not going to be running it again until August. So this is quite possibly your last chance to join Simply Happy and Healthy, or you need to wait another 5 months. So please don't do that. Have fun. Enjoy your life. I hope this helped. And yeah, message me if you have questions or want to have a chat about literally anything. Until then, I'll see you in the next one.